Amen. Are we glad for obedience? Are we glad for obedience? In Mark chapter 10, a young man comes up to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asked the man why he called him good, and then he reminded him of the commandments. And the young man said, "Teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy." And Jesus told the young man that he lacked one thing. He told the young man to go and sell everything he had and give it to the poor and to come and follow Jesus. And as the story goes, the young man walked away. Why did this young man walk away? Because the Bible tells us that he had great wealth. And with great wealth, he did not have to worry or concern himself with the mundane tasks of life. He could come and go as he pleased. No doubt, he probably had people who were waiting on him. He had no need to even consider the poor. The people Jesus had just told him to give the money he would receive for selling all of his possessions. You see, the thing that this man lacked is the same thing that many of us lack. The rich young man, we probably don't even realize that we lack what he lacked. And what is it that he lacked? Trust in God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lord God, we can go home just on the prayer that you had Kimberly pray over this body. We need you. Father God, open our hearts, soften our hearts that we can understand we don't got this. We need you. And it starts with trusting you. Father God, be with us even in this short amount of time that we have together today in this building. Will you speak to us, speak to our hearts, inspire us that we may leave this building and go do what you called us to do all those years ago. Share the good news. Don't let people die unaware that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He hung on the cross. He died for the forgiveness of their sins. All you must do is say, "Father, I put on my life the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. I want that applied to the sin of my life, and it is finished." Lord God, give us that heart today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Over the past month, Pastor Monty has been talking to us about family matters. And so today, I want to tap into a constant theme that he was using. And that constant theme was trust God. And so that's why I titled this message, "If Family Matters, Trust God." So what is trust? So I looked it up on the internet. Dictionary.com came up with this beautiful definition and says, "Trust is the firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something." And for many of us, it's the something that gets us hung up, and we put our trust in that something. It could be money. It could be popularity. Hey, I need to get 100 more likes. I need to get 10,000 likes. Hey, I want everybody to know me. And that's more important than God. It could be anything. I know for me, for a season of life, it was my athleticism. You know, hey, I'm this athlete, you know, look at me. I cared about that more than anything. And I even shared this morning over in our discipleship Bible study, which meets every Sunday at 9:20, shameless plug. We'll be starting a new one at the beginning of the year, 14 weeks. Now back to the sermon. You know, it could be good looks. I've never experienced that, but I know some of you guys have those, and maybe that's what we're concerned about. You know, I got to look good, you know, for whatever reason. You know, it's any number of things, watch this, that our five senses can experience. You see, to trust God, you have to put away those five senses. It takes faith. If you want to trust God, it takes faith. You see, faith picks up where the five senses drop off. You can't touch it. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. You can't see it. You can't hear it. Faith is that evidence of things hoped for, the certainty of things not seen. God says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so in order to trust God, you're going to have faith. When you trust God, when you put your faith in God, listen to me, hear me, you're going to face opposition. See, what we want to do is, oh, I love you, Lord. All right, come on, where the sunshine? I'm going down here to Mulberry Ice Cream Company. They're going to give me some free ice cream because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that is not how it goes. It doesn't even come close to that. Listen to what Jesus says at the end of his time. He's talking with the disciples. The rich young man has left. Not the end of his time, but the end of his time in this moment. And the rich young man has walked away, and the disciples say, well, hey, you know, what about us? We've given up all these things. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark 10, 29 and 30. He says, truly I tell you, no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me. And the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. Watch this. Along with persecution. You could almost even say opposition. It's not going to go easy. You're going to have some people coming against you. He says, and in the age to come, eternal life. If you can put up with the opposition, if you can put up with the persecution, if you are willing to trust God, no matter what, God will bless you in ways that you couldn't even imagine. And would you stop? Thank you, Jesus. Will you stop? When somebody stands up here and says, I don't know why I'm flowing like this today, but just deal with it. Will you stop when somebody says, you know, oh, you're going to get a blessing? Will you stop trying to think of that car that you're going to get? Stop thinking about that money that you're going to get. Stop thinking about that job that you're going to get. Will you please stop thinking about those things? The blessings of God, when somebody tells you God's going to bless you, watch this. God's going to show himself to you. God's going to show up in your life. God's going to comfort you when you think you should be down and out. God's going to be there with you. That's the blessing. Forget the car. People got cars rolling up and down the street. You want to see a car, go stand out right here. I think I'm pointing the right way. Go stand out right here on South Florida, and you can see cars running up and down the road. What kind of blessing is that? Broad is the way, and wide is the gate. I think I got that right. If I got it wrong, broad is the gate, and wide is the way. It's one of the two that leads to destruction. But narrow the gate. And small, is it narrow the road and small is the gate? Come on, y'all theologians, you've been in your Bible. Huh? It's not going to be like what you see everybody doing. If you want to trust God, thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to stay calm. If you want to trust God, then you can't look at what other people are doing and wonder why that ain't breaking off for you, because that ain't what I got for you. Thus saith the Lord. He doesn't have that for you. Do you trust him? Then don't worry about all those cars that you see. Don't worry about so-and-so got the new job. Do you trust God? Yes, sir, I do trust God. Then have faith. Because your blessing may not look like what you think it should. And you mess around there and look up, and one day, I'm going to say it. I don't care what y'all think. Thank you, Jesus. This is now I done went away from my message for a second. They know who they are. But at the beginning of this school year, I had a student in my classroom, and I began praying for that student. I have a little journal, and I put the student's name in the journal. The first time I put the student's name in the journal, I put their name and another student's name. I said, Lord, we need to pray. And then down the road, I put that student's name back in my prayer journal just on their own, praying. Y'all better shout, because that student is in this room, gave up her life to Christ last week. Y'all better act like y'all know that Jesus Christ will do it if you trust him. It ain't got nothing to do with what you think. It ain't got nothing to do with, if he loved me, he would. No. If he loved you, he would love you. And you just wait and see what it's going to look like. Yeah, and there's so much more. Oh, I could tell you more, but we're not going to go down there. Pastor Monty only gave me X amount of time to be in front of you, God. And so I'm coming back to the message. Faith is not optional. It's not optional. You don't get to pick and choose and decide, well, I think I'll have faith today. No. You have to have faith all the time, constantly. You never can stop having faith. And if you, Lord Jesus, you just pulling on me. I don't care if it hurts your feelings, just get your feelings hurt and get saved and have a better relationship with Jesus Christ. If your faith is shakable, then begin to go before the Lord, ask him to point things out, because God is faithful. He will point them out. The problem is not God's faithfulness. You know what it is? You don't want to hear that. God, show me in my life what's right. Okay, well, look here. But first of all, and then second of all, you don't want to hear that. Listen to me. If you want to have unshakable faith, that kind of faith that you look up and you see somebody else and you go, oh, man, I want to have that. How did they get that faith? On their knees? Amen. How did they get that faith? In this word? How did they get that faith? Allowing their friends to tell them when they're coming up short and not getting offended? You want to trust God? This is what is required. There's no shortcut. And I don't want to quote this man today, beat my beloved LSU team last night. But Nick Saban once said, he said he was talking about greatness. He wasn't talking about trusting the Lord. But he said, it takes what it takes. He said, people always want to say, you know, this and that. He said, no, it takes what it takes. Listen to me. You want to get trust in God? It takes what it takes. It takes getting on your knees. It takes getting in the Word. It takes getting around his people. It takes leaving all that stuff that you know is pulling you away from God. It takes what it takes. There's no shortcut. You want to trust God? It takes what it takes. So do the work and allow him to show you. When God says, you know, bring the whole offering into the storehouse, we only focus on money. Oh, and let me go tithe more because God says, you know, it's going to come back, you know, good measure, pressed down. But we focus on money. No. Can't it be overflowing with the Spirit of the Lord in you, allowing you to stand in front of people and people look at you and say, I don't know what it is about that person right there, but bless God, I need to know. Hey, what is that? What is that? And then you tell them, Jesus Christ. This is what we're talking about, trust God. So what does trusting God look like from a biblical standpoint? It looks like Peter climbing out of the boat and walking on the water. And you say, we focus on what? Well, he sank. He might have sunk, but guess what? He walked on the water. And he didn't walk on the water just because. He walked on the water because he trusted God. And yeah, maybe your faith will falter a little bit. What happened when Peter started to sink? What'd Jesus do? Say again? He reached out and grabbed him. And most of y'all think that if you begin to falter in your faith, that Jesus is going to be like, oh, well, I don't know what in the world Faith thought she was doing. He's not going to do that to you. You know, that messes up the people up there when I walk like that. Sorry, guys. He's not going to do that. So it looks like trusting God looks like Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. Trusting God looks like David stepping onto the battlefield with a slingshot and a stone to face a man 3 feet taller than he was, or however much taller Goliath was. And Goliath has a sword and a spear and a javelin, and he's a big man, and he's ready to take down warriors. And what does David say? You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. Watch this. What does David come against him with? Come on, y'all better shout it out. Them people at home can't hear that. He didn't come at him with no rocket, no slingshot. What'd he come at him with? Huh? Bruh, let me say this out loud. He said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, whom you have defiled. He didn't care nothing about no sling and no stone. If that just happened to be the things that he knew God would use. You telling me that if David would have gone at Goliath barehanded, he wouldn't have whooped him? Of course he would have, because it wasn't David. Who was it? Y'all didn't get it. Here's how I know you didn't get it. The Lord Almighty. That same God is the same God that you running around here talking about, I love you, Lord. He slew Goliath, let me use y'all's words, with a stone and a sling. One shot, one kill. And you running around here worrying about some car running up and down South Florida talking about, oh, I need another car. Oh, I want to get this. Oh, I need to get the new iPhone. The new what? If you trust God, you don't need those things. I'm kidding, Sonny. I do want to get that new iPhone. It's just for the sermon. Trusting God looks like Nathan. Y'all don't understand what Nathan did when he stood in front of King David and he said, you're that man. You know, David said that person should be killed. And Nathan said, you're that man. So what is Nathan saying? Come on, don't get quiet on me now. What's Nathan saying? He's saying, you should die, king. Let that marinate. Nathan the prophet stands in front of the king and says, you should die. Now think about the trust you gotta have in God to stand in front of the king, because at the word of the king, Nathan would be dead. But he went in the name of the Lord. He trusted God, and he said, you're that man. And watch David's response. Because David, even though he messed up, he trusted God too. And how did David respond? He said, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. This is the God that I'm telling you, you need to put your trust in. What does the trust in God look like? It looks like the woman who spent 12 years with this physical issue of blood, that she couldn't stop the flow of this blood. And for 12 years, she spent all her money trying to figure it out. And then she realizes that this man, Jesus Christ, is coming, and she says what? Come on, you better say that loud. I don't think you get it. And here's why I say that. The power in trust and faith, I don't think you're tapping into it. Because if you were tapping into it, Some of the complaints that you're doing to yourself, you wouldn't do. Did you hear the woman? She knows that that's Jesus Christ. She knows that's a place where I can get my healing. I've been going to all these physicians. I've been trying all these things, but that is the Son of God. I could go to him and get my healing. And watch this. She doesn't have to go and stand in front of him and say, well, let me explain to you my situation, please. No, 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 no. I just need to. I know I'm messing with y'all. You get over it. That's it. I just need to touch him. Y'all don't get it. You don't get it. Here's why I'm getting on you about that. Because if you got that, if you understood that, your life would be different. You guys would be beating these doors down. Not coming in, going out. Trying to get the people this good news that Jesus Christ saves. That's what trust in God looks like. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And what happened? Was it easy for her to get to him? Oh, y'all didn't catch that. Let me give y'all a chance, because, you know, sometimes people miss, they miss their shout moment. And in preaching 101, they say you may have to circle back and give them a chance to get their shout moment. Was it easy for her to get to him?
No.
Is it going to be easy for you to show this trust? No. It's going to be wall after wall after wall. If you get close to God, don't you know that your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Don't you know that you're now in his crosshairs? He can't have you showing up. Why? Because if you start showing up, trusting God, sharing the good news, what's going to happen? People are going to start listening to you. Your life starts looking like what Jesus Christ's life looked like. People are going to start wanting to know, hey, let me know more about that. And so the enemy's going to come and he's going to attack. And he's going to attack. And he's going to attack. And watch this. He's never going to leave you alone.
There he is.
No, he's not. Because if you open your Bible to Luke chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus Christ, what's it say? Luke said that the enemy left him. Watch this. Until an opportune time. I'm coming back. It wasn't a good time right now. Let me back up. Let me regroup. I'm going to come back at him, but I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. Oh, I'm going to mess with you now. That's what this is the downside about getting in your Bible, because watch this. The Bible says that Judas and John, the Bible says that Judas said the enemy had come upon him. Watch this. Y'all ain't ready for this. Said the enemy had come upon him and he went out. Where did he go out of? The Last Supper. Said he went out, watch this, until an opportune time. Oh, I messed you up right there. You better get in your Bible. So what are you saying to me, Greg? I'm saying that the enemy can come in any form, fashion that he wants to. He masquerades as an angel of light. The enemy can be your best friend. Get behind me, Satan. Oh, who was Jesus talking about then? Didn't Peter love Jesus Christ? Wasn't Peter the one that said, you're the Messiah? Listen to me, when you trust God, it's not going to be peaches and cream. That woman didn't just walk up to Jesus. No, it was a crowd of people, and she had to push through. How do we know it was a crowd of people? Because when she touched him, he said what? He said, who touched me? They said, you know, teacher, look, all these people are around here. He said, no, I felt. He said, I felt healing. Or I felt something come out of me. Y'all didn't get it. Y'all didn't get what? The same God that was working with her is the same God you're in here talking about. I love you, Lord. If you love God, if you trust God, then you got to be moving. You got to be going. What? I got to get in my word. I got to pray. I got to be like this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This ain't even in the sermon. If the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, then what do you need to be doing? Prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom you can share the good news with, so they will be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. Let that marinate. We're talking about trusting God. If your family matters, then trust God. Because without him, you're no help to your family. Let me say that again. Without God, you're no help to your family. Pastor Monty did an amazing job preaching about family matters. I would encourage you to go back and look at those sermons. I think we have them online as far as on our website. You can hear them, kind of like a podcast. Or if you want to watch, you go onto YouTube or you go onto Facebook and you can look at the messages. But listen to me, you need to look at that. Because he did an amazing job just covering all areas of the family. Marriages, children, everything. And if that matters, then you got to trust God. How do we put our trust in God? Number one, we stop listening to non-biblical reasoning. We stop listening to non-biblical reasoning. And you ain't going to pull that off if you're not reading the Bible. How you know it's non-biblical? You guys understand that? If I'm telling you to stop listening to non-biblical reasoning, the only way you can know that it is non-biblical reasoning is that you yourself have biblical knowledge. Well, how do I read the Bible, Greg? Slowly. Take your time. Consistently. Open the Bible and begin to read. Yes, you're going to get bored at first. Yes, it's going to confuse you at first. Yes. Whatever excuse you want to come up with, yes, that's going to happen. Okay, so what? Like Nick Saban said, it takes what it takes. If you want to combat non-biblical reasoning, then you got to get in the Bible yourself. That's non-negotiable. That is how you put trust in God. Number two, we move on the count of one. You heard parents say, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to count to one, two, don't let me get to three. What? Are you kidding me trying to do that with God? God doesn't owe you two. If God says move and you're like pausing, God doesn't owe you to say one, two. He's not a man. You understand what I'm saying? You move on the count of one or zero. Move. Okay. No, this way. Okay. No. Hit this. He told me to hit that. That's just me trusting God. Trusting God. No. But you understand what I'm saying? You got to get out of that mode. If you say, I trust you, God, then when he puts something in your heart, don't do that thing, oh, we Christians. You know what we do? Let me pray about that. I'm going to pray about that. Oh, I like that idea. Can I pray about that? But what was you doing all them other times? You ain't been praying? If you've been praying about something, I've been praying about, I'm messed with Wesley Connor right now. I've been praying about going out for this baseball team. You know, this team, and you know, I've been wanting to go out, but you know, they don't have any openings, you know, on this travel ball team that I've been wanting to play on. I know this is, I'm just making this up. He's like, what? Hey, he's been in my prayer closet. And then, you know, he'd been praying, but oh Lord, you know, I wanna play on this team. I wanna play on this team, right? And then somebody walks up and says, hey, Wesley, we got to open it on this team. We would love for you to come. And then Wesley says, well, let me pray about that and see what God it. You see what I'm saying? Don't do that. Be ready. Be praying. Go on the count of one, not three. That's how you trust God. I'm ready to go. All I need is for God to say, boo, and I'm off. This is what I'm talking about. And it comes from praying, reading your Bible, surrounding yourself with the right people. And number three, getting back up and putting your trust in God after you failed, one and two. All right? In other words, I didn't go on one. I didn't go on two. So I didn't get three. I failed. You don't hold yourself down. God's not done with you. Take a look at the life of Peter. I mean, Peter seemed to fail Christ at several turns. But at the end of the day, it was Peter who was standing in front of those people in Acts chapter 2. We talked about that a little bit this morning. It was Peter. Why? Because even though he failed, he kept getting back up. David failed. And what did he say? I've sinned against the Lord. How do you put your trust in God? You don't give up. You don't give up. I'm going to do my best. I got a couple stories and then we're done. So that's the sermon. But I want to, you know, it's funny. I have these stories on here, and in our Bible study this morning, Ian was talking about the importance of telling our story. And I was thinking to myself, this man peeked at my notes. But I don't think that was the case, although they were sitting next to him. When we lived in Korea, I don't even remember what was going on. I get this phone call, and there's a young lady, and she had run away from home, and the people were their, her parents and the people that loved her were kind of at their wits' end. And they said, can we bring her to you, to your house? And so I said, no, I don't really like her. No, I didn't say that. I said, yes. So now we're sitting in my room. You know what time it was. My wife done left the brother. She in the bed sleep. Daughter in the bed sleep. So I'm up sharing a word with this young lady. And watch this. We talking about trusting God and just allowing God to do what he's going to do, right? I didn't know. I'm just sharing with her. I don't know why this story. But I started sharing with her about Abraham. And Abraham and Isaac. And when Abraham is going to sacrifice Isaac. And when we get down to this point in the story where Isaac says, Father, where is the ram, or where is the sacrifice? Abraham says, God's going to provide the sacrifice. And the young lady looks and she says, he lied. I said, what? She said, he lied. The son is the sacrifice. I said, no. You got to finish the story. And we all know that Abraham is standing, getting ready to kill his son. And what happens? There was a ram caught in the thicket. Did he lie? This is what I'm saying to the young lady. I said, he didn't lie. He trusted God. He knew that God said Isaac was going to be his path to being a father of many nations. He knew that Isaac was blessed of the Lord, and as much as God said, you are going to have a son, and it happened how God said. So if God says, I need you to sacrifice this son, then Abraham trusted God even in that moment. And so I was able to share that with that young lady. That young lady now, not because of me, but it just, I'm telling the story, so it made you think it was because of me. But that young lady now loves the Lord. You know, it took time. And it wasn't even just that moment. We had another moment together. But my point is, trust God and do what God called you to do. And if you do that, he'll put you in those types of situations. Those things never happen to me. Maybe you're not ready yet. I'm not saying that I'm ready, but I'm just saying, don't worry about that. It'll happen. You'll have those moments. Let me give you one more quick story. This is going to mess y'all up. I'm just going to tell you up front. I'm going to tell you the story how it happened, and you got to deal with your own selves on that. So years ago, my family and I lived in Monterey, California. We're talking about trusting God. All right? We're talking about trusting God. And so in this season of life, I was praying, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord tell me to fast. That's what I thought. I thought it was the Spirit of the Lord telling me to fast. So I started fasting. And the reason why I was fasting was because the week, so it was a Sunday, the week going in, or actually it was a Saturday, but the next week, Monday, Tuesday, we were going on a retreat. I was taking our youth on a retreat. And so I said, okay, I'm fasting now. This is what I'm saying to myself. I'm fasting now. So I get up Sunday morning, and I'm rolling to church with my daughter. I got my daughter in the car. I'm rolling. And my wife always came later because she stayed a lot longer after the service, so we just didn't ride together. So as I'm rolling down the road, I hear the Spirit of the Lord tell me, don't fast. You ain't going to get me, devil, right? I said, no, that's not you, God. Kept on riding. Got to the church. I heard, don't fast. I already done put the devil in his place. So I know it's the enemy, right? So I don't listen. On the way home, I hear this voice. Don't fast. You need your strength. Well, in that moment, I said, okay, hold on a minute. I may have to start paying attention to this voice because the enemy wants to trip you up. Why would the enemy want me to, you know, this is me. I'm saying, okay, Lord. All right, Lord. I'm trusting you. If this is you, I'm trusting you. I won't fast. One thing that I said at church to all the elders, or not, when I say elders, I'm talking about the older people at the church, the not youth. They were wanting to come up and spend time with our youth. I said, come up Tuesday. I said, come up Tuesday night. I don't know why. Tuesday night. I said it to everybody. Hey, come up Tuesday. Hey, come on up Tuesday. Make sure you're prayed up. Come up Tuesday. Come on up Tuesday. I kept saying that. And so we go up, and we went up on Monday. And Monday, you know, we have a great day. And I don't know why I was saying this, but I kept saying to the students, hey, make sure you're prayed up. Make sure you're prayed up tomorrow night. Make sure you're prayed up tomorrow night. All right. That's just an expression that people use. It's nothing special. It just means make sure you're praying. For those of you who are like, what's prayed up? I don't understand that. So, you know, hey, make sure you're prayed up. Make sure you're prayed up. And so we have our time. And right around dinner time, Tuesday, I feel the Spirit of the Lord say, don't eat, go get ready. I'm in the kitchen area wherever we were. Don't eat. Go get ready. We're talking about trusting God. So I was happy because, remember, I wanted to fast in the first place. So I didn't eat. So I go over, you know, we're going to have a foot washing service. So I go over, I get all the water out, I'm praying over the water, praying over the, you know, well, I'm in the little building that we were in, I'm praying over that. I'm just praying. I'm just focused on praying, right? We're talking about trusting God. We're talking about trusting God and what he can do. So the you start coming in, the people start coming in, I'm talking about the adult. And there we are in this service, and I start washing all the teens' feet. I'm talking about shoes off, sitting down. We're doing a foot washing. Got my wife on one side, got another lady on the other side, and we're washing every child's feet, being obedient. When we finished, I stood in front of the, and we started praying. We're just praying. It's loud. We're all praying. And I had my eyes closed, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, we're talking about trust in God. I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, open your eyes. And I don't know why, but in that moment, I felt like opening my eyes was not going to work well for me, so I didn't. I said, kept my eyes closed. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, open your eyes. I give you my solemn word. Y'all have done it, so don't laugh at me. I closed my eyes tighter. I really did. I closed my eyes. I promise you, as tight as one can close their eyes is as tight as I had my eyes closed. Let me give you a little bit of background. See, that's that teaser right there. Well, my daughter's an actress, so she taught me some of these things. So let me give you a little bit of background. There was a young man that he was probably the only person that typically came to our group but didn't come on this week, this retreat. And I'd spoken to him, and I said, hey, you know, so-and-so, you should come. And he was telling me, he said, no, Greg. He said, man, me and my friend, we're going to go hang out with some girls. And I said, man, you leave them girls alone, man. Just come on to the retreat. He said, man, it's girls, Greg. It's girls. He said it just like that. I'm not even exaggerating. And so he didn't want to come. Well, when all the people were coming up, I had looked up and I saw him come. His parents made him come. So he's in the building. And I got my eyes closed. We're talking about trusting God. I got my eyes closed as tight as I can go. And I'm telling you right now, if you haven't experienced this, I pray you never will. I felt the Spirit of the Lord tell me in no uncertain terms to open my eyes now. Well, you don't play with God, but I opened them as wide as I could get them. And I looked. And right here in front, not y'all, but right in front is this young man. You know what? I almost wish I had that chair now. He's sitting down, and he has this look on his face. And I look at him, and I'm telling you, y'all, this is going to mess with y'all. I don't care if it messes with you. The Spirit of the Lord put this words in my heart. I'm going to say that the Lord told me. I'm looking at him, and the Lord said, how dare he? Oh, that messed with you right there. Now, I'm praying. I'm standing there praying, right? It's charismatic. It's charismatic church. Y'all be all right. Y'all ain't going to die. For whatever reason, my daughter was holding on to my leg. I don't know why. But she was crying and holding onto my leg. And I remember, don't call me a bad parent, but I remember flinging my leg forward. She let go. She was a big kid. She wasn't no little kid. But she wasn't that big. She was eight. She was 7 or 8. But now understand, just because I say I did that, that doesn't mean what happened. Because she, you know, after we got her out of the hospital, she was, no. So I remember clicking my, and I said, no. We're talking about trusting God. We're talking about trusting God. Don't lose yourself in here today. We're talking about trusting God. I said, no, you cannot have him. We're talking about trusting God. That ain't what you want to hear, but what I'm saying, and I'm going to pause the story there. You have to come see me by yourself. There was so much more to it. But what am I telling you? If you trust God, he'll put you in place. Okay, let me just, can I tell y'all something? And you got to decide whether or not it's real. The Bible tells us that there's spiritual warfare. I'm not getting into that. I ain't going to lose anybody's mind. But what I'm saying to you is, it's happening. Spiritual warfare is happening. Physically, spiritually happening today. You don't even realize those battles that you have in yourself. Do it, don't do it. Do it, don't do it. That's it. That's what it looks like. And what am I saying to you? If you don't trust God, you're getting whooped. If you don't trust God, if you don't put your faith in God, you're getting whooped. Open up your Bible and go into Acts chapter 19. See what happened to the seven sons of Sceva. They was trying to act like they were all this and that. We adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And what did the enemy say right there? Anybody know that story? He said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. He said, but who are you? And the Bible says that it whooped all seven of them, and they went out bleeding. I try to keep it G-rated. I was trying to keep it G-rated. You guys understand? Like, we're laughing. I need you to get this. I don't want you to walk out of this place and you don't understand. When I'm talking about trusting God, I'm talking about trusting God like that. So he can use you like that. And I apologize if it sounds like I'm trying to boost myself. I'm not. I'm just sharing my testimony. My man right here, Ian, he told us this morning, sometimes this is too far away from us. But see, now you got to deal with the reality that I just shared with you. You know me. You touch me. We fist bump. You know me. So how do you reconcile my testimony? How do you reconcile that? I don't really care about the enemy. I don't care if he's upset. I don't care if he's starting to lose people. I don't care about him any further than I can see him. I care about you, though. There's not one person in this room that I flat out don't love. Not one. There's not one person in this room that I flat out wouldn't do everything in my power to help you come to know and better love Jesus Christ and have a right relationship with him all day, every day, no matter what. Listen to me. There isn't a person in this room, bruh, on the earth. Let me just open it up. I need you to begin to feel like that. And I know you do. I know I'm not the only one. I'm 100% sure I am not the only one. And I ain't going to say no names, right? Because I don't want, he didn't even say my name. There's plenty of people in here that feel that same way. So listen to me. You're sitting there right now, and you're struggling with trusting God. Yeah, all that stuff happens to other people. No, it doesn't. In time, God will use you for whatever you're willing to yield yourself to. Why did God say to Isaiah, who will go and whom shall we send? You know why he said that? Because Isaiah was willing to go. Here am I, send me. Why does God do what he does? Because it's the person that yields himself. Listen to me. You ever seen one of those people and it seems like they're always doing stuff for God? Every time you turn around, they're doing this and they're doing that. And you're like, man, they're kind of greedy with it, huh? They're not greedy with it. You know what they are? They're yielding with it. God wants all of this to be done, but if you don't trust him enough to yield yourself to him, he can't use you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But just like when Mordecai said to Esther, how do you know but that you have not been risen to this position for a time such as this? He says, watch this. He says, but if you do nothing, don't think that your family is going to be saved. He said the salvation, he said, it'll come from someone else. Somebody else will come and save the Israelites. Somebody else will come and save the Jews. But don't you think that your family, you and your family are going to be okay? Y'all getting that? Is it too much? Is it overboard? Trust in God is the best thing you could do. He wants to do through you. He wants to do through you so much. All you have to do is allow him. When you walk out of here in a couple of minutes, and I'm landing the plane. When you walk out of here in a couple of minutes, some of you, not all, you're going to be faced with a crisis of faith. Do you believe what Greg just said by the power of the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to allow whatever circumstances waiting for you in your car, at your home, haven't said this all sermon, I need to say it, at Zaxby's? Are you going to allow that circumstance to snatch this word? Because that's what happens. Some seed fell on, and the enemy came and right away. Oh, we preach in the Bible in this place. Pastor Monty will not let you stand up here if you're not willing to preach the Bible, because Pastor Monty preaches the Bible. He squeaks every now and then, but we understand. I love you, Pastor Monty. Let a brother preach again. Can we get the... Oh, this was a good sermon today, boy. You know how I know? Because Jill was in it. Hey, you, bro, you were so calm. And it's like, oh, come now. Praise God. Listen, I want you to trust God. But it's not for my sake. It's for your sake. If you can't trust God, nothing else matters. Psalm 127 says that unless the Lord builds it, it's going to fall. Unless the Lord watches over it, he who guards it in vain. It's that simple. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this time that you've given us here today. Lord God, I pray that there is not one person in this room who is not willing to trust you even more today than they did when they walked in this building. Father God, it's you, and only you. You are all that matters. I pray that you would give us the courage to put 100% of our hope in you. Thank you, Lord God. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.